Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from The Grill Room is definitely on our tab. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Once again, we'd like to welcome you to The Grill Room, where we tackle all the hot topics in the world of professional golf. I'm Bob Bubka, and I'm here with longtime partner Alex Maselli, the true golf insider. Alex, how you doing?
Good, Bobby. You know, we're on the doorstep.
You know, it seems like we've been waiting a long time for this, but you're right about that. The Masters, just a week to go, hard to believe.
Well, I guess it is. I mean, you know, I think this is like going to be like my 10th event since January. When I get to Augusta. So I'm thinking, you think back to, okay, so you're in Hawaii for a couple of weeks, and then, you know, you go to the desert, and then you go to Pebble Beach, and you go down to Los Angeles, and then you're thinking about going to the West, you're going to Florida, and you get to Doral, and then all of a sudden you look up, and you're here where we are right now. And it goes fast, and you learn so much, both positively and negatively, about all these different players. But still, all that being said, going in, the focus is pretty much two ways. One is if one guy is going to win the career Grand Slam, which is what it was when we left Valhalla, and the other one, which is a little different, is if the other guy who used to play very well at this venue is even going to show up.
Well, let me ask you this. And you know, if you had to bet a lot of money and your two choices were you could bet he's going to tee it up in this year's Masters, or he's not going to tee it up in this year's Masters. Obviously, we're talking about Tiger Woods. What does Alex Maselli bet on?
Well, if I was betting a lot of money, I would bet that he would tee it up.
Wow.
Because that's who he is. But deep down in my gut, I don't think he's teeing it up.
You know, it's fascinating because I've been talking a lot of different people about this, Alex, and I could literally divide it down the middle. As many tell me, oh yeah, he's going to play at the Masters, and then the other half said, oh no, he's definitely not playing at the Masters. And one of the things that they hang their hat on the not playing is Tiger always saying to us, and you were there all the time also, Alex, Tiger saying prior to the start of the event, he was there to win. Now, I can see the possibility of putting a peg in the ground on Thursday, but that's a far cry from showing up on Thursday confident that you can win.
Well, I think that's correct, and there's a couple different things about this. First of all, generally, you would be hearing something of a positive nature if you thought he was going to tee it up next week. I mean, if he's practicing at Medalist, which is where he practices, you would have heard something. It's not like a bunch of monks walk around there. When you heard Nota Begay a couple weeks ago when he decided not to tee it up at Palmer and Bay Hill, you know, this kind of, well, he's kind of 50-50. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the word beyond Nota Begay was he's nowhere close to playing. So how he found a way to get himself ready to go with no one knowing about it over the last 2 weeks seems very unlikely. And you're right. I mean, his desire to go to Augusta National or to go to anywhere is to go ahead and play because he thinks he can win the golf tournament. I don't believe he could walk on any venue right now and think, and I'm talking not forget PGA Tour or forget even European Tour. I don't think Tiger Woods could roll into a Web.com event with the thought that he could win.
You know, the amazing thing, Alex, and this is somebody that obviously would love to see Tiger at the Masters. It just automatically adds a lot of juice, not that it needs any juice this year. I've been hearing some unbelievable numbers. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday tickets are through the roof, and this is without a Tiger Woods commitment. If he were to commit, I mean, those numbers would probably double in minimum. The thing that concerns me is it was well documented on TV. We watched it in person. What Tiger is suffering from mainly is the chipping yips. Now, you could practice until the cows come home, but you can't duplicate the pressure of competition, and it's the pressure that brings out the yips. So how do you practice away the yips without being in competition?
You don't. You know, you get yourself healthy, you get yourself in the best frame of mind possible, and then you go out there, and as soon as you're over a chip on the first or probably second hole at Augusta National, either the par four where you missed it right or left, or the par five where you're short, the first thing you have to do is pull something out. And if it's not puttable, which it possibly is, but if it's not puttable and you got to go over a bunker or something, then, you know, it's in your, you're right there. You're just it's staring you in the face. And I don't care who you are. That does not go away very easily unless you've been playing in competitive rounds and getting rid of it. And I don't see that. Just don't see that happening.
You know, one saving grace, and we'll move on. There are a lot of opportunities at Augusta National where you can replace a chip with a putt. I think Tiger would have to, you know, as you said, obviously if there's a bunker in his way, he has to chip it. But there are a lot of opportunities around a lot of the greens where putting could be an option, and he could rely on that.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, Martin Keimer got around Pinehurst pretty much with a putter when he was off the green. He wasn't chipping because Martin's just not that good of a chipper and didn't feel like he wanted to use those clubs when he could have used his putter, which certainly makes a lot of sense. But that being said, we're assuming, you know, that Tiger can do the other things that he can't do chipping. Well, still a lot of other issues that Tiger has and had this year that we saw. Now, that being said, a lot of that you can work through. But again, you can't work through being experienced standing over a drive that you got to go, you know, down the left side, skirting the fairway to get the best angle on when you're, you know, you're one back on Sunday. Those emotions are something that, quite honestly, Tiger Woods hasn't felt in a long, long time. And can he deal with those, or would he be able to deal with those? I have no idea.
One last question before we move on. You may or may not know the answer. I don't know the answer. Is the Masters the same as a regular PGA Tour event? Tiger has until Friday, 5 o'clock East Coast time, to, you know, commit to the event?
I don't know either. I think he's got until he – I think he can commit to the event without without having to do anything other than, you know, accept the invitation. And as long as he tees it up at the proposed time, that's it. If not, that's what I think it is, but I don't know that for sure. You know, one other thing, though, I wanted to say to you, Bob, is, you know, if in fact Tiger has any interest level in playing in this year's Masters, why hasn't he been to Augusta National? I mean, when you think about it, the last time we can think that he stepped on the grounds at Augusta National was the Sunday in April of 2013. That means it's almost 2 years since he's been on the grounds.
Yeah, that's kind of staggering. And it's almost as staggering as the fact that Tiger Woods has fallen now out of the top 100 for the first time. He cracked the top 100 with his victory in Las Vegas. That was in September of 1996. That is a long, long time. All right, to kick off our Masters coverage, we're going to give away a pair of Nike Max Transition Adaptive Sunglasses. All you have to do is send in your pick. Who will win the Masters? Send all entries to menu@thegrillroom.com. That's menu@thegrillroom.com. In case of a tie, first email received with the correct answer will win. You can enter as many times as you like. That address, once again, menu@thegrillroom.com. Before we go to break, we'd like to welcome one of our longtime sponsors back into the fold, IonLoop.com. We're glad you're back, and we look forward to sharing your new products with our listeners. That's IonLoop.com. We're going off to the first tee in just a minute.
You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, and powered by Golf Week.
The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at healthysightforlife.org.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be.
One of our favorite segments, Around the World of Golf, and now brought to you by the Coolbrella. Simply the best umbrella for personal sun protection and instant shade. Visit Coolbrella.com. That's Coolbrella with a K. Alex, let's begin with the Valero Texas Open. Jimmy Walker, only a half, maybe a half hour down the road, goes in and wins convincingly.
Well, I think, you know, he had a lead early on, and it was so hard. Such a hard golf course to really make up strokes on, and Jimmy Walker isn't one of those guys that goes backwards much. And going into Sunday, you know, you didn't think that he was going to go backwards, and he didn't. He just kept going forwards. And I think what's interesting is that when he gets the bit in his mouth, he's one of those guys that just keeps going. One of the stats that comes out of this is it's not since Bill Haas, as the 54-hole leader, won the golf tournament. Here is Jimmy Walker. Not only did he have the lead at 54 holes, but just kept it going and just kind of ran it down near the end. And I'll tell you, it was a good field. It was a good golf tournament. Jimmy Walker prevailing over what would have to be one of the more solid fields that Valero's seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's give a listen to what Jimmy had to say about that lead.
It's a hard golf course, and, I mean, a four-shot lead can evaporate pretty fast. You had to really stay on top of what you were doing, and it was hard. I mean, everybody was making bogeys. Everybody was making birdies, so nothing really felt safe. I mean, even with five to go, I mean, look what Jordan did. If I don't do that, then it's a lot closer than I wanted it to be. But, yeah, it was a good fight. It was fun.
As we mentioned earlier, Alex, he is from the San Antonio area, feels at home, and you said a good stat with Bill Haas. I got a good one. Bill Haas, I should say. I got a good one for you. First time since 1940 did a Texan finish first and second in the Texas Open, and that was none other than Ben Hogan and Byron Nelson. This year, obviously, Jimmy Walker and Jordan Spieth.
Well, you know, what do you say about Jimmy Walker? Just a solid player that has found has found a way to win golf tournaments, which is something he didn't do before. And you know, some of it, though, is I wonder if the injuries, the neck injury he had previously, kind of held him back a little after coming off the Web.com tour. Maybe this would have happened a couple years earlier if not for that. I'm certain, though, that spending time with Butch Harmon has also helped Jimmy Walker tremendously.
Yeah, there's little doubt about that. And, you know, there hasn't really been that much buzz about the five victories by Jimmy Walker over the last 18 months. And the only thing I can attribute that to is some of the, you know, not the events weren't all loaded with top-tier players.
Hey, you know, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not really sure what it is. Somebody I saw tweet the other day that Jimmy Walker's like the Billy Casper of the PGA Tour. I think, quite honestly, winning on the PGA Tour is hard enough. Winning five times in 18 months is crazy. Something that you would only have seen from Tiger Woods. I mean, it's not anything you even see from Rory McIlroy, let's be honest. I mean, Rory is not one of those guys that can run off a string of five or six over a period of time, generally. It's just not his makeup. Though he's won big events, you know, obviously majors, and Jimmy Walker has not, that doesn't diminish what Jimmy Walker has done. What I find interesting, though, is how is it that he's only 10th in the world rankings? I mean, it's 18 months, five wins. I think half of his events that he's played in, almost half of his events, he's got top 10s. How is it the guy's only 10th in the world?
Yeah, that's the amazing thing. But it certainly was a sweet victory in the state of Texas, and it certainly was a big deal to Jimmy Walker.
Golf course was in great shape. It played hard. Greens were really firm. You had to be very careful. And just to play this well at home in front of everybody is just, it's amazing. I don't know how to describe it. It's just, it's cool. I mean, it's like what the Spurs feel like, you know, when they win a big game at home. You know, you've got that huge support, you know, and everybody's there for you. And that's kind of how it felt. So it was special.
You know, Jordan Spieth, Alex, finishes second. It's just incredible. He's now ranked fourth in the world. I mean, you got to be kidding. The kid's 21 years old, fourth in the world.
Well, I mean, I think we need to step back just for a second and just realize when he came out of college, left Texas early, a lot of people didn't think he had the game to do what he's doing right now. What he's doing right now, some people thought would be his career. A lot of people didn't think that in the short period of time he had the game. And a lot of people have been proven wrong. And I don't think, you know, if you look at Jordan Spieth when he's playing, he makes errors. He makes significant errors and finds a way to come back from those. If Jordan Spieth has a week where he's not making significant errors, he's winning golf tournaments more than he is now at a better clip, and he's winning probably by a lot, like he did in Australia and like he did at the Hero later in the year last year at the Tigers event. That's just how good he can be when he's on his game.
Couple of other players worth mentioning, Alex. The play of Dustin Johnson after his victory at the World Golf Championships at Doral now moves to seventh in the world. Billy Horschel not resting on his laurels or the close to $15 million he won at the end of last season, now breaks into the top 20 in the world, playing some good golf.
Well, he does. He works really hard, Bob. But I think what's interesting is, after Billy won at the FedEx Cup, I mean, he really didn't play very well. But he's kind of finding his rhythm now, playing better and better. And then, obviously, you saw it last week with the third-place finish. You know, we'll see what Billy Horschel's got in the tank. But I always thought he was kind of an emotional player, which is the kind of player you want to see out there. And we'll see how long Billy Horschel can keep moving up the world rankings.
The other thing we're going to be keeping a key eye on, Alex, certainly will be the play of Phil Mickelson at the Shell Houston Open. Phil looked lost to me at some, you know, during the playing of that Valero Texas Open. He didn't seem happy. Obviously, he wasn't playing well, so it's hard to be happy. But I don't know. You know, I'm starting to think that, you know, physically, maybe Phil is not letting on to some of the obstacles that he's trying to overcome.
Well, I mean, that's possible. But I think, you know, five. I think it was five. Was he five over, six over in the final round at Valero on Sunday? Prior to that, he was actually kind of, you know, in the feeling of being part of that golf tournament. And you know, but then he makes mistakes. He makes a double bogey down the stretch. I think on Friday, instead of going from four under, goes down to two under. Stuff like that. Stuff that's uncharacteristic for a lot of guys of Phil Mickelson's caliber. But you know, you say all that, Bob. But I feel like he is very close in so many different ways. He putted pretty well last week. Putted okay at Bay Hill, and now it's just kind of a ball striking thing. And, you know, the thing with Phil Mickelson is that he can find one thing on the range. It just takes one thing with him. And because he is, you know, he's such a field player that, boom, you know, all of a sudden everything can go in the right direction. And guess what? He's going to Augusta National, where if there's anybody except for maybe Bubba Watson, if there's anybody that can roll into Augusta National with just so-so game and come out of there with a green jacket, it's Phil Mickelson.
I'll go one step further, Alex. There's no doubt in my mind that the car that Phil Mickelson rides in when he gets to the entrance, the Phil Mickelson that gets out of the car is different than the guy that just drove through the gates. There's something magical. That's why he's won three green jackets, obviously. But he loves Augusta. He gets pumped up. You know, you're so right about that, that you know, he turns, I don't know, chicken something into chicken salad on a regular basis. The world rankings coming out of Valero now. Rory still on top. Stenson second. Bubba there. Jordan Spieth fourth. Jason Day, we haven't heard a lot of. Adam Scott, big question there. Will he be using that big putter or short putter when he gets to Augusta? Dustin Johnson, certainly somebody you got to keep an eye on. He's much like Bubba Watson in the length off the tee. Could be a huge advantage for Dustin Johnson.
Well, I mean, you look at the list that you're going to talk about. Dustin 7, Sergio's 8, Jim Furyk 9, Jimmy Walker 10. Dustin Johnson has had numerous chances to win U.S. Opens and PGA Championships and hasn't gotten it done. I just don't think that he is a good enough putter to win at Augusta National. He certainly has the length that would benefit him. But at the end of the day, I think the golf course is smarter than Dustin Johnson, and his putting doesn't allow him to win at Augusta National. Everybody else on that list, I think, has certainly a legitimate chance. The question I have is you know, you say Jason Day, we haven't heard much from him. He actually won this year. You know, that's a bit odd. Adam Scott is the one that seems to have struggled a little at times this year because he's kind of started a little late. And Sergio Garcia, not really sure what to say about him, but almost anybody else in that group of top tens, top ten on the world, has a chance to win at Augusta National, I believe.
You think Jim?
Now, one of them would surprise you. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So you're saying to me that you feel Jimmy Walker has what it takes to win at the major level?
Oh yeah. You don't think so?
I do. I just, you know, he's such a nice guy and such a gentleman with the press. There wouldn't be any tears in the media room if Jimmy Walker is putting on that green jacket a couple of weeks from right now. All right, time to move on to the Champions Tour.
Bob, we must have just make the last comment that you forgot. You know, Phil Mickelson is 21st in the world, no big deal. But Tiger Woods falling out of the top 100 at 104th. I don't know if any. I wonder what the highest, the lowest ranked world ranked player that has won at Augusta National since the rankings have been in place. I have to go take a look at that.
Yeah, that would be a very interesting stat. All right, Tiger falling out of the top 100 first time since September 1996. Champions Tour of the Mississippi Golf Resort Classic, presented by C Spire. David Frost wins by one from Tom Lehman and Kevin Sutherland, his first win in 2 years. And Frosty tells us a very special win.
Yeah, obviously every victory that you do accomplish out here, you know, does hold a special place. I don't care who you are. I was in contention quite a few times in the 6 years I've played here. But you never know when it's when you're really going to pull it off. You know, the competition's very tough. The elements are tough. This week in particular, the wind was very gusty. And again, I just kept myself in contention and stayed within touch of the leaders. And I have no idea what happened on the back nine today, but I know I made a few birdies, and you know, it was just a very special victory for me.
You know, that victory, Alex, by David Frost was kind of amazing, because he incurred that one-stroke penalty on the 71st hole when he dropped his golf ball on the green and moved his ball marker. You would think that he would be rattled by that, but played 18, left a very long par-saving putt, but had the stroke that it takes. And many argue that David Frost, when putting, is as good as anybody on the Champions Tour in putting.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He must have been extremely nervous dropping his golf ball on the 17th hole.
No, you know, sometimes that golf ball gets a little wet. It drops out of your hand.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe he just needs to wash his hands in some of the wine he's got beforehand, make it a little stickier so he holds on to the golf ball.
David Frost wines, and I remember on our trip so distinctly going down to South Africa, and we were told to go to his winery. His brother was waiting for us, and we had Janice Self, our executive producer, as the navigator. While we saw a lot of South Africa, we never saw anything of David Frost's vineyard. All right, what happened on the web.com tour, Alex?
The Chittamaca Louisiana Open, presented by Nature. Kelly Kraft, former PGA Tour player, wins by one. I'll tell you one thing. He's got long hair now. I'm not sure I would have recognized him.
Yeah, I took a look on TV. I said, who is that? We recognized the winner on the LPGA Tour, you know, the Kia Classic. Christy Kerr wins by two over Miriam Lee and by three over Lydia Ko. Christy Kerr was very emotional after that victory. She played very well, so we'll wait and see what she does this week as they play the first LPGA major. On the European Tour, played in Morocco, Alex, it really was a golf tournament without spectators. Seemed to be a made-for-TV event.
Trophy Hassan II, great. You know what? It's a great experience. I've been down there for one of those. I really liked it. Scotland's Richie Ramsey wins for the third time on the European Tour. But I think what's interesting is Richie's kind of, he's a guy, when he first came out, people thought a lot of positive would happen. And he's really kind of struggled a lot. Richie lives in Atlanta, where he works on his game the most. But, you know, going to Morocco and winning was a huge, huge thing for him. And he was certainly overjoyed with his win.
Pretty overwhelmed, obviously. It was a roller coaster day, you know. I would like to say I was one of the steadiest players out here, but today it was fireworks and the whole day. I just dug in there. You know, I played lovely golf, just tried to execute each shot one at a time, and try to focus on which shot I wanted to hit. And I did that. Ryan was really good the whole week with the wind, which is difficult at times, and obviously a little bit of a hiccup on six, but responded really well and dug in there and just kept the momentum going. And then overall, it was just, I just had so much fun out there. Like, coming down the last, I was just, all I could think of was hitting a good shot, and it was just mentally, it was brilliant. You know, I just saw each shot, just went to execute it, and just, it's been a long time coming because I had a few injuries, but it was just so much fun out there. That's what I love to do. You know, you're not going to be able to take the grin off my face for a while.
All right, Bob, that's it for Around the World of Golf. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, and powered by Golf Week. We'll be back with news and notes after these messages.
All right, and when we return, it'll be time for a hot topic, the Masters, brought to you by Ion Loop.
The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's Coolbrella.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Time now for more Grill Room. By the way, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. We deeply appreciate that. Now, our hot topic of the week brought to you by Ion Loop, America's number one negative ion and magnet sports bracelet. Alex, do you know that Ion Loop has a new braided leather bracelet with negative ions?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, believe it or not, the negative ions are the good ions that we all need to have. It looks so sharp, you can even wear it out to dinner after you're around. So impress your friends with the new braided leather bracelet. Go to ionloop.com to make your selection. It comes in black, red, saddle brown, or the new color combo, black and red together. Order today at ionloop.com. First major of the year on the radar screen, and let's take a look at what might happen there this year.
All right, Bobby, yeah, there's four players that are in their last-minute invitations to Augusta by virtue of being in the top 50 of the world after the Valero Texas Open. Paul Casey, Arbon Larhi, Bren Weisberger, and Brendan Grace. Now, what's interesting is Casey, it's been 3 years. 3 years since Paul Casey, who was actually at one point number three in the world, has been back to Augusta National.
You know, Paul Casey, to me, you know, he could be a sleeper pick down there. I mean, he has all the talent in the world. I know, you know, he's humbled by the fact that he hasn't won a major, but, you know, he can look over at Lee Westwood and Luke Donald, you know, and, you know, Ian Poulter. All of those guys haven't won majors. I mean, Paul Casey really could be a sleeper.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I think his best chance probably to have won a major was at the Open Championship at St. Andrews when he kind of lost it on the 12th hole in the final round in Louis Oosthuizen, had no choice but to just kind of make pars along the way and win by a considerable margin. But Paul Casey is one of the better ball strikers out there, and he's been playing better and better and better. And if you actually said to me, you like Casey over Luke Donald, I'd say yes. You like Casey over Lee Westwood, I think I'd have to almost say yes as well. So I just think that...
What about Casey over Poulter?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no question, because Poulter seems not to be able to finish golf tournaments off lately.
Well, don't count him out.
Not counting him out. I'm just saying. I mean, every time he gets himself in a position, what does he do?
Well, I say don't count him out. Let me ask you this, Alex. A lot of talk been going on that left-handers have an advantage at Augusta. You buy into that?
Well, let's take Mike Weir out of the mix, only because it was so long ago. And I think that the argument is left-handers that are long, because that's what we're talking about, isn't it? Aren't we talking about Phil Mickelson and Bubba Watson being long, guys that are long, guys that can cut the ball into the right places on the golf course? Because let's be honest, if you were if you're on the other side and you're drawing the ball into those holes and into those fairways, it's not the way to go. It's too hard to control the golf ball. But if you can be a left-hander and you can basically cut the ball into those places, which is exactly the way the golf course is lined set up, you can control the ball much better, and then all of a sudden, let's look what's happening. Those guys are winning golf tournaments, and they're winning at Augusta National. So I think there's no question that their ability to hit that cut shot into greens and into fairways that are built for that is certainly an advantage for them.
Yeah, and it really comes into play on 13 and 15, both dog legs left. But it's so easy to overdraw the ball. You end up in the creek. You end up in a worse position. Big, long cut there, plays to the fat parts of the fairway, and really does. If you're long, like Alex said, you and you're left-handed, you do have an advantage. Well, Jimmy Walker, he's really looking forward to playing at Augusta.
Yeah, I feel good. I know you definitely wouldn't want to go in not playing well. I mean, I feel good. I like the golf course. It's an amazing week. I had a blast last year. They do an incredible job with the golf course, the fans, the membership there. Everybody just goes out of their way to make you feel like you're at the most prestigious event there is.
All right, Alex. Next name I'm going to mention. You know, Rory McIlroy, winner of the last two majors played. Can he keep his emotions under control, Mr. Maselli, to complete the Grand Slam and come away with a victory at Augusta National?
Well, I don't think emotions are an issue as much for him now as maybe when he was trying to win his first or second major. I mean, that's all gone now. And I understand people will say, well, it's for the career Grand Slam. And Rory McIlroy's not stupid. I mean, barring something crazy happening, Rory McIlroy is going to play in 20 more majors at Augusta National. He's bound to win one of them, I think. I think that's fair. That's a fair assessment. I'm not saying he's going to win, you know, seven green jackets, but I think he's bound to win one of the ones that he plays in. He's such a young kid. So I don't think he's got to put the pressure on him now to say this has got to be the one. Let's put it this way. It's not the same pressure for Rory McIlroy today going into Augusta National to win the career Grand Slam as the pressure that Phil Mickelson faced at Pinehurst last year, or the pressure that Phil Mickelson faces now when he goes into any U.S. Open, because he knows he's got very few of those left where he's going to be competitive. So I don't think there's any question that Rory McIlroy has what it takes to win at Augusta National, but he's got to do it.
Yeah, and he's certainly in position to do something very special in the world of golf.
You know, I've got a chance to go to Augusta and do something very few players in this game have done before. So, you know, that adds a little bit of spice to it. But there's no extra pressure on this side going to Augusta this year.
But it's not going to come easy for Rory McIlroy. He knows how intimidating Augusta National can be.
I mean, Augusta, it's intimidating. It is. You know, I feel like it's quite generous off the tee, and it's definitely a second-shot golf course. It, you know, whenever they put pins in positions where you feel like there's only a 3 or 4 yard area to land the ball in, you can become quite tentative, and that's how I felt the first couple of years I was there. I didn't, you know, I wasn't aggressive enough, and that's what you really need to be. You need to be aggressive to your targets at Augusta, and you can't start to guide the ball around there, because the minute you start doing that, you'll start to miss it on the wrong side, and you'll just you put yourself in a lot of trouble, and it's hard to get out of that sort of mindset if you slip into it.
Alex, you know, we mentioned his name a little bit, but he is our defending champion. Bubba Watson has a victory already this year. Bubba Watson playing with a lot of confidence, seems to be hitting it even further than in the past. If he's on form, wow, Bubba Watson could defend that championship, I think, very easily.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, he's one of the top three guys going in. I mean, there's no question. I mean, obviously, everybody looks at Rory. Bubba is definitely one of the guys as well. And then, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure who the third guy is, but those two guys are certainly the cream of the crop right now. I mean, one of those two guys, those are the guys, if you were in Vegas, you're putting your money on.
And, of course, for Bubba Watson, sometimes it's just mind over matter.
For me, it's not about ability. It's never been about ability. It's about my mind. If I get my mind in the right place, there's not a shot I can't hit. There's not a golf course that can beat me. It's about being the right focus, the right energy level. It's all that wrapped into one for me.
Jordan Spieth, Alex, finished second a year ago. He certainly has grown a lot in the past year. I think if he could get himself in position with the lead on the back nine on Sunday like he did a year ago, I think he has what it takes to close the deal.
Well, three wins since his last last Masters, those are all positives. And two of those wins were overwhelming. So, yeah, I mean, I agree that Jordan Spieth going down the stretch on the back nine could get it done. But, you know, you've seen so many train wrecks on the back nine. And let's be honest, Jordan Spieth has not had that much experience around Augusta National. I remember Rory McIlroy leading going into the back nine on Sunday, and it was a complete train wreck. And that is what can happen, no matter who it is. So I think I would feel good if I was Jordan Spieth, if I was in that situation. But, you know, you remember last year when he had a chance at eight to do something special. He hit 3 wood off the tee, I think it was. Bubba Watson just blistered a driver so far past Jordan Spieth. And that was the beginning of the end for Jordan Spieth and that, and the chance to win his first major.
Yeah, I think he's learned, as you alluded to, though, Alex. I think if he stands on number eight now and he's anywhere near the lead on Sunday, he's going to hit that big stick and get it down there, give himself a chance to get home in two on that par five. Jason Day always seems to play well there. Adam Scott, you mentioned it at the top of the show, Alex, has mellowed just a little. What about his putter? He going to use that long putter that won him a green jacket already, or will he stick to the short putter? What's Mr. Maselli say?
I think long, actually. He realizes that his chances are very limited now in events that he can play in majors he can play in with this putter. So why not take full advantage? I think he still feels more comfortable with the long putter than the short putter. So if that's the case, then you got to go with it.
And a couple of names that we'd be remiss if we didn't mention. Henrik Stenson still seeking his first major. Martin Kaymer seeking his third major. Martin Kaymer, Stenson, a couple of guys, Alex, that really are high-level competitors and have to be given a shout going into the Masters.
Well, Henrik Stenson is going to come in to Augusta National completely and utterly under the radar. I mean, no question he's going to come in under the radar. Even if he would have won 2 weeks ago at Bay Hill, he still would have come in under the radar. And very similar to Martin Kaymer, won the Players' Championship, rolls in the Piners, nobody even knew who he was, and then he wins another major. So I think those two guys are going to be very comfortable coming into the situation that they're in. Martin Kaymer is struggling right now, so I'm not sure what game he's going to show up with, but there's no question Henrik Stenson is not struggling.
Remember to send in your Masters pick. We're giving away a pair of Nike Max Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. Send in your pick. Who will win the Masters? Send all entries to menu@thegrillroom.com. That's menu@thegrillroom.com. Hey, what? In case of a tie, well, the first email received with the correct answer will win. And you can enter as many times as you like. menu@thegrillroom.com. Alex, a lot of news and notes coming up in just a moment. Wait a minute, Alex. Let me ask you one more time. Do you know that Ion Loop has a new braided leather bracelet with negative ions?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, believe it or not, the negative ions are the good ions that we all need to have. It looks so sharp, you can even wear it out to dinner after you're around. So impress your friends with your new braided leather bracelet. Go to ionloop.com to make your selection. It comes in black, red, saddle brown, or the new color combo, black and red together. Order today at ionloop.com. When we come back, it'll be news and notes.
You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, and powered by Golf Week.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Rory McIlroy agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
I love that music in the background. It means it's time for news and notes. PGA of America, Alex, announced all volunteer positions for this year's PGA Championship at Whistling Straits have been filled. Those people in Wisconsin, they love their golf.
So how many of the volunteers do you think are four-legged?
I don't know, but 2,610 are from the state of Wisconsin out of the 3,400 volunteers. They represent 42 states and five countries.
Well, you know, the other thing I found interesting, Bob, is that if you sign up to be a volunteer for this PGA Championship, that you will get the opportunity to register as a volunteer for the 2020 Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits prior to the general public. So really, you got the opportunity to be volunteering at two events, and I can tell you that volunteering at a Ryder Cup would be quite interesting.
You know, it's amazing to me. No matter how much I know that it takes place, you have people in line willing to pay about $150 for their uniform, willing to work the entire week that they're off from their normal job, and people are getting in line to do it. Just stop and think what kind of business and how much money you could make, Alex, if I could give you 1,500 people a week to work for free.
Well, you know, that's actually how golf works. I mean, that's how they end up giving so much money to charity. They don't have to pay personnel.
Well, he's not charity, that's for sure. Let's move on to news and notes about Tiger building golf courses in China. I thought there was a ban on building courses in China. What's the story, Alex?
Well, I mean, there can be a ban, but then there can be a ban. Bottom line is that if you do it the right way and you get the right, correct permission from the government and obviously having the right funding, you can get it done. I mean, their concern is taking arid land out of play, land that you can be used for farming and all those kind of things, and that was a big concern of the government. But there are there are those limited opportunities, which obviously Tiger's falling into, to build a course in China, and not only is he building one, but he's building two, I believe.
Pretty amazing. Also amazing to me, Alex, more news coming from the TaylorMade camp. What's the story?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure I know what the story is. I know that they're changing CEOs again. Mark King was the longtime CEO and then became president of Adidas North America. And when King left, Ben Sharp came in. Sharp's been there not even a year, basically. And he's left, he said, for personal reasons. And David Abelis, who used to be at Titleist, or Acushnet, is now the new CEO. The question is what's going to happen? When they brought Ben Sharp in at TaylorMade, they really started to clamp down on a lot of things that they had been doing in the past, the, you know, creating three or four different drivers a year and things of that nature. They really believed that at the end of the day that was not the right way to go about building the business, and so they stopped that, and that was what one of the things that Ben Sharp was instrumental in doing. Now I'm hearing by bringing David Abelis in that there's a good theory that they're going to go back to the idea of building a lot of drivers, a lot of different models during the year. If that's the case, it's going to flood the market. It's going to make it difficult. I don't know if you could remember, Bob, but it was a little over a year ago where Dick's Sporting Goods, who's definitely aligned with TaylorMade, was complaining about sales and complaining about this and complaining about that. And a lot of it had to directly do with the fact that they were sitting here with all this TaylorMade equipment that nobody was buying. So if that was the case, why would you then turn around and go back to your old ways? And I guess, you know, I don't run Adidas and I don't run TaylorMade, but it seems a little odd, don't you think?
I do think that, Alex, and I think it's a little bit unfair to the golf consumer out there that, you know, they go make a major purchase of a TaylorMade driver, and then a couple of months later there's a new and better model, and then a couple of months after that there's a better model after that. I don't know. And I'm not smart enough to know, that's way above my pay grade, but if that's the right formula for selling golf equipment to the general public.
Well, I think the one thing you should know is you take Titleist as an example. Titleist doesn't come out with a driver but every other year. So it's every 2 years you'll see a driver. And those off years that they don't come out with a new woods, they're coming out with new iron. So it's not like the established companies are doing things like this. I know Callaway will come out with equipment a little more quickly than Titleist will, but even Callaway won't do what TaylorMade is doing. And flooding the market with product that nobody wants only makes it hard for everybody in the industry. And so I don't know what's going to happen out of that.
We will stay tuned. That's all I can say about the Grow Room.
You're listening to the Grow Room, heard in TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, and powered by Golf Week.
The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's K-O-O-L-B-R-E-L-L-A.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Now for what's next on the schedule. On the Ladies Tour, Alex, the first major of the year. Used to be called the Kraft Nabisco. It's got a new name. We got Lexi Thompson defending. Going to be pretty interesting.
The Anna Inspiration. And you're right, it's the first major of the year for the ladies. And I know they're excited because it just gets them going in the right direction in regards to the season. As you said, Lexi Thompson defending. She's the one to hit the water last. We'll see who hits the water this year. It could be Lexi Thompson, Bob, couldn't it?
Yeah, it certainly could. What is that called? Poppy's Pond? Is that the name of the pond alongside the 18th green there?
I believe that's right, but I usually don't know the names of ponds around golf courses. I think it's just bad luck.
Well, I think it probably has a couple of Alex Maselli golf balls in the bottom of it. That's why he didn't want to mention the name. Let's move forward. European Tour, Mr. M, no tournament, presumably allowing players to travel to Augusta and get ready for the first major of the year.
Well, I think presumably is right. It's just it's that time of year. I mean, the Augusta National has this cloak that goes over not only the week of the event, but really 2 weeks. And so everybody gets ready to come to Augusta. So all the European Tour people, not only the players, but also the brass as well, want to get here in time to be there for not only the beginning of the tournament, but now we got the pitch, putt, and whatever thing we got on the Sunday. So there's a lot going on at Augusta National. So that makes sense that they would everybody would not have an event in Europe this week.
And you know, one thing that kind of separates the Masters from the other majors, there's more time in the build-up. You know, I mean, we wait all, winter and early spring for the Masters to come, and then right after that, it seems like we're at the U.S. Open, then we're across the pond for the British, and then back for the PGA Championship. So some of the mystique is because of its place on the calendar, and it's a long time between that last putt at the PGA Championship to the first ball in the air at Augusta National. In fact, the Web.com Tour, they're off until after the Masters. Same for the Champions Tour, but a big event with a good field, Alex, and couldn't happen to better people. Steve Timms and his entire crew at the Shell Houston Open. A lot of star power there this year. Aussie Matt Jones defending that star-studded field. 13 of the top 25 players in the world. That's a real credit to the Shell Houston Open.
Well, I think it is a credit to the event itself, what they try to do to get you prepared to the extent that they can for Augusta National and the Masters. What's interesting is that this used to be the spot that used to be the Atlanta event, which is where they're going to go back next week, the Greater Gwinnett Championship. And when they went to TPC Sugarloaf, that was a great venue to get yourself ready. But for some reason, they could never figure out how to get an event there and keep it there with a sponsor. Here you have the Shell Houston Open with a golf course that's certainly well-received by the players, one that you know can kind of get you ready for Augusta National, but it doesn't. It can't replicate what you're going to receive at Augusta yet because of the efforts of, as you said, Steve Timms and the sponsor. I mean, they're getting all these players, Jordan Spieth, Sergio Garcia, Justin Rose, Ricky Fowler, Martin Keimer, Jimmy Walker, Matt Kuchar, Patrick Reed, Victor Dubuisson. I mean, that's good enough as it is. And then you add in, you know, Phil Mickelson and Bill Haas, and Lee Westwood, Hunter Mahan, Charles Schwartzel. It's just a star-studded field. Every tee time you look at, it's going to have a player that you want to follow. You don't see that often anymore on the PGA Tour.
And the guy that heads up the media at the Shell Houston Open, been doing it a long time. I doubt anybody does it any better. Our old friend, Bert Darden, and we wish him a lot of luck as they have this big event. And then next week, we'll be down at Augusta. Keegan Bradley also going to be playing. Louis Oosthuizen going to be playing. And Paul Casey could have a shot here at the Shell Houston Open. Not counting the United States, there are 48 international players from 22 different countries, 37 in the field that are in the Masters.
And you know, Bob, if you win, like Matt Jones did, you could be the 38th guy in the field that's in the Masters. That's about the only way you're going to get in now, is you're going to have to win at the Shell Houston Open. That's his only ticket left to get into the first major of the 2015 season.
Hey, by the way, Alex, the golf course superintendent at the Golf Club of Houston, home to the Shell Houston Open, is James Leonard. And I'm sure he has that course in great shape, as he always does. You know, they really go out of their way to help the players prepare for the Masters by playing in the Shell Houston Open.
Well, that wraps up this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn and Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by GolfWeek.com. By the way, The Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and, of course, on our website, TheGrillRoom.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, and to Ion Loop and GolfWeek.com. So for Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. And don't forget to send your entry in as to who you think is going to win the Masters. Just send it to menu@thegrillroom.com. Please follow us on Twitter @TGRGolf and like us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.